3, 2, 1.
Hello, my name is Peter Singer. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of Grand Challenges Canada, Grand Défi Canada, and we're here today at McGill University to celebrate the awarding of our first grant to Dr. Timothy Geary and Dr. Eliane Ubalijoro, who are here with me today, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Peter. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Thank you. And this grant is a whole of Canada effort. It's Grand Challenges Canada, working with Canada's International Development Research Centre, the Canadian Institutes of Health Research, and these Canadian organizations have partnered with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So it's a strong partnership, hopefully to enable you to do your work, which is fantastic. The focus of the grant is on neglected tropical diseases. And Tim, these are really the dozen or two dozen diseases that almost nobody has ever heard of that affect a billion people, make them sick, trap them in poverty. And maybe I could just start by asking you how you became interested in this problem and why you're tackling this problem in your research.
That's a very good question, Peter. I became interested in parasites in 1980. By training, I'm a pharmacologist. I'm someone who studies drugs. How do they act? How do you discover them? I was interested in parasites because it was unexplored territory. Neglected tropical diseases, I became interested in because of the magnitude of the problem. Because we have largely eliminated them from the West and the North by infrastructure development. But they remain the status quo, the norm for people who live in resource-poor areas. Mm. Because they don't kill people that much, they cause this chronic morbidity, this loss of productivity, failure to thrive and develop. They have become obscured by perhaps the more dramatic tropical illnesses like HIV and tuberculosis and malaria, but they remain an enormous problem and one that has not been fully addressed. So this is what attracted us.
Wow. And Eliane, I think one of the really attractive pieces of this grant is the way, even though we're here at McGill, your group is working in partnership with African researchers. And this is really a great example of Canadians enabling African scientists to innovate and help themselves. Maybe say a little bit about why you would do that and why these partnerships and why is the African leadership so important to the concept in your grant?
One of the aspects we are really excited about is local leadership. Local leadership in innovation and drug discovery, in solving local problems, finding local innovations that address local problems. And the aspect of looking at African biodiversity is not only a way of saying this is a space of value for Africans, but this is also a space of value that needs to be cultivated, that needs to be taken care of. If we consider a lot of the 21st century challenges we have, climate change, warfare, migrations, knowing that biodiversity, African biodiversity, can be a source of income that can help Africans come out of poverty is a way of saying to our leadership, this is an important space to look at. Mm. This is an important space that can help us heal our populations, that can help us grow our economies, and that can help us innovate and partner with the West.
Wow, that's really terrific, this approach of African leadership. Tim, maybe I could ask you for a little more detail on what exactly is your approach and how will you know when you're there? What does success look like for you all?
Success at the end of the day, Peter, is a new drug or a set of drugs that can be used to control infections with parasitic worms in humans. What we are bringing to this partnership is a technology platform that was invented by my group in Michigan when I worked in the pharmaceutical industry and has been given to us carte blanche, free of entanglements, by Pfizer. So it's a generous donation of technology. It's suited for low-resource environments. So it's a elegant solution in which we take a common microbe, the yeast, which is found in the making of bread and beer, but is a very good laboratory organism. And we create strains of this yeast that require the function of parasite proteins to live. So we can look for chemicals that affect those parasite proteins simply by measuring whether the yeast grow. This is something that people have known how to do for centuries, and we can do this in an environment that doesn't have fancy equipment or expensive, hard to maintain equipment. Bringing that technology into the same place as a new chemistry resource is located opens up new ways to discover these drugs. But very importantly, the ownership of those discoveries now remains with the owners of the chemistry, not with the technology. So we see this as a way to stimulate local efforts in drug discovery by bringing the technology to the chemistry that we need to look through.
Wow, that's really a fantastic combination of very high technology science, social innovation with African leadership, and business innovation with initially the donation of the technology platform. But Eliane, you were talking a little bit more than just charity and donations, and so were you, Tim. And I'd really like to invite both of you to just say a little bit more about the business innovation here. Is it just pure charity, just the donation, important though that may be, or is there something related to sustainability, new business models, et cetera? Because that sort of innovation is critical.
We don't see any innovation possible unless it's sustainable. If there isn't a sustainable business plan to it, it's not worth exploring. And in our case, what we see is this platform can not only help take the neglected diseases, and instead of being called tropical neglected diseases, hopefully one day they'll become tropical former diseases. But it also creates a platform where African biodiversity can be characterized at a very, very high-tech level and can be used for the exploration for disease conditions that are important for developing countries as well as the whole planet. So this can actually become a tool for African researchers to actually go back to the West and negotiate with pharma and say, we found great things in terms of antiparasitic drugs, but we may also find some interesting things in terms of diabetes, in terms of cardiovascular diseases. And how can we continue to evolve together and work together to be able to find solutions to problems that affect the whole population of the globe?
Fantastic. And Tim, is there anything you want to add to that? You've got a background in the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, for some of the people listening, high technology and science and business leadership and so on in Africa, it's just not the way people sometimes think about Africa, although they're wrong, aren't they?
Exactly. I want to tell a little story. I was asked some years ago to give a talk at a tropical medicine conference on why doesn't the pharmaceutical industry spend more money discovering drugs for poor people, which is a common question. I turned it around and I said, what conditions have we imposed upon poor regions that prevent them from discovering the drugs that they need? What have we done as a culture to prevent that from happening? And the answer is quite a lot. So this program is a way to break through that. And to me, that's very important. The industry is populated by people with very good intentions. And good intentions are wonderful, but they're not enough. The hard fact is that nothing happens unless there's a reward for it. And what we have to do, and you're very familiar with this issue, is make it possible for African scientists, in this case, with great ideas, to develop them, to move them to application. That's a gap that we have to address. This grant, this project, is a small step in that process, which is going to be a long road, but we have to get started. That's
fantastic.
Important.
Thank you. And just as we wrap up, Eliane, any closing thoughts that you want to share?
Well, one of the, in terms of sustainability, what's important is one day to have this space be attractive to venture capital.
Yes.
And one of the issues you talk about is stagnant health technologies. And so what are the missing pieces to take technologies that are developed in Africa to a space where local and international venture capital are interested in them? And what we see is having the excellence of partnerships in terms of the funding, excellence of partnership in terms of the researchers, and excellence of multidisciplinary vision coming together is really crucial to attract that venture capital space. And we hope to be a space that may stimulate that to happen.
Great. Well, I really just want to congratulate you both and thank you both for your efforts. I can't think of a better first grant for Grand Challenges Canada, working with our Canadian partners, IDRC, the International Development Research Center, and Canadian Institutes of Health Research and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to support than this. This seems to have it all. It's got committed people. It's got very cutting-edge science and technology. on a huge, you've got over some huge hurdles to get this grant. It's excellent science. You've got this fantastic idea of African leadership and some wonderful ideas about business innovation. So on behalf of Grand Challenges Canada and all our partners, I just want to wish you all much luck and with the wind at your sails and at your back to really tackle these truly neglected diseases, the dozen or two dozen diseases that trap a billion people into poverty. It's just fantastic that we're now starting to unneglect these neglected diseases, and that Canada, with support from the Government of Canada, is able to enable you to enable African scientists to solve their own problems against these terrible diseases. So congratulations, and thank you so much.
Merci beaucoup.
Merci.
Merci beaucoup.